Betty Billington-Smith, who is going to talk about reflection on Zigeunernacht, the Night of the Gypsies. Yes, Zigeunernacht took place on the 2nd of August 1944. So this year is the 80th anniversary of that Night of the Gypsies. Fragility of freedom is this year's topic. How easy it is to lose our freedom. None of us know the future, but we know the past. So we try to learn from the past. I can go back to 998 AD in India, where the gypsies were forced into the armies or kept as slaves. And when they were no longer wanted, they were expelled and forced into nomadism. So that's when they started to disperse all over the globe. The first mention of gypsies in England was in 1514, and this is when gypsies, free men and women, carrying papers from the Pope to say they were on a pilgrimage. Henry VIII, who was then trying to set up a Church of England for Protestants, believing that they were papal spies, started to fine any ship's captain bringing gypsies into the country £40. The gypsies, who were free, or so they thought, were hung, not just losing their freedom, but their lives. Then we go fast forward to 1660. The English Romany Child Group is formed. They survive by working for people they had come to know. They are free, but then in 1714, many merchants and planters applied to the Privy Council to ship gypsies to the Caribbean to be used as slaves. Many once again lost their freedom. But for those who were working for their friends, they were once again free, but not for long. As in the 1800s, there came an agricultural depression. This brings poverty to the gypsy community. They are forced once again on the road, which led to the Turnpike Act in 1822, when any gypsies camped on the road were fined. We go just before the Second World War. Not many people know that the Roma and Sinti were actually targeted for extinction long before the Jews, as early as the 1930s. They were humble people, living free, working the land, doing some horse dealing, selling flowers. Gradually, these gypsies were taken and told that they were dirty and needed to be in a safe place. Let's watch a short film showing how they were treated, not counting the gypsies who were put into enclosures and shot, placed in large vans where they were gassed, hunted in the woods and shot. The Second World War, where, as I said at the start, the Nazis are starting to round up the Roma and Sinti in Germany and are drawing up lists of all the English gypsy encampments, ready, should they invade England, to intern all the gypsies. It seems that the British government had set up many gypsy camps for gypsies in the army or working the land. There's a big question mark. How were the Nazis able to draw up these lists? After the war, these camps were closed, so many gypsies were left with nowhere to go, unless they were lucky and found some field work, fruit picking, hot picking. So for many, it's back on the road with only the old stopping places, country lanes and the like, common land. And then we go on to 1960. The Control of Development Act stops any private sites being built. Local authorities were allowed to close all the commons to gypsies, but were directed to open caravan sites for gypsies by 1970. It never happened. So by 1972, evictions and harassment of gypsies reaches crisis level. even though in 1966 the Gypsy Council in England had been formed. Many were forced onto the road, finding stopping places where they could find a sympathetic landowner or maybe a farmer who they could work for a few weeks. Then landowners and farmers were told that they needed planning permission to have travellers on their land. So hence, less legal stopping places. There is a slot in that film about Dale Farm. That was the worst tragedy to happen to the travelling communities in Great Britain for a long time. Many of those residents had planning permission, as many as half. There was a legal scrapyard on there. There is a film on YouTube which I started to watch. You see the discrimination, the racism, this cleanliness of the site. It was so, every pitch was so well looked after. The children were obtaining an education, but it did not stop the evictions. Since then, many houses have been built on that land, which they wanted back, the Greenbelt land they wanted back. So another incident of persecution against the travelling communities is still happening today. Travellers not being allowed to enter certain establishments, refuse service. We all remember how the black community suffered the same treatment and how then we were all appalled. Apparently a survey shows, well, it was one of the slides there, that many believe the travelling communities are a threat to Britain's success and prosperity. Tell that to the hundreds of gypsies and travellers who fought for this country. My father, an ex-Royal Marine, his uncle, who was badly injured at the Battle of Monte Cassino in Italy. My uncle, Sam, who served in the Royal Navy. His father, who was in the army. And let's not forget that young gypsy hero, Jack Cunningham, who obtained the VC. One of my great uncles gave his life in World War I. So, many of us come together every year to say never again. But as someone once said, Auschwitz is sleeping. We must never forget the fragility of freedom. And that is one of the reasons why on the 2nd of August, every year, Kushtibok holds a service for all those brave gypsy men and women who fought to keep Britain free. And another reason is for those Roma and Sinti, the 2,897, who were murdered on the 2nd of August, 1944, when the gypsy camp in Auschwitz-Birkenau was liquidated. And the other reason is to make sure gypsies are no longer the forgotten people of the Holocaust. I would like to say that yes, we will be holding a service on the 2nd of August this year, and we are in talks with Sherborne Abbey. So there will be posters and notification when we get the order. And also we have our History Day. June is the Travellers History Month, and we have our History Day in Borough Gardens on June the 15th this year. Thank you.